بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his pure family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the discussion of the meaning, explaining the meanings of Allah's most beautiful names. The 93rd name, Al-Jami', as in Surah An-Nisa 4:140 and in Al-Imran 3:9. The one who collects the created beings for the day of reckoning. This is the meaning of Al-Jami'. Now we come to the names of Allah that were mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 94th, Al-Hannan. Al-Hannan, the one having mercy and compassion to his slaves. And Al-Mannan, the one who is very bountiful. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنت جالسا مع رسول الله في الحلقة. Anas reported that I was sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the حلقة, which is learning circle. ورجل قائم يصلي. And a man was standing performing his prayer. فلما ركع وسجد جلس وتشهد. After he made ruku', bowing and sujood, prostration, he sat and concluded the tashahud. This is part of the salah, as we know. The tashahud meaning to witness. It is the sitting position in the salah and the prayer in which one testifies that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. So, ثم دعا فقال. Then this man invoked Allah saying, اللهم إني أسألك بأن لك الحمد لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك. O Allah, indeed I ask you by the fact that to you belongs all praise. There is no true God except you. You alone, you have no partners. أنت وحدك لا شريك لك الحنان. وفي رواية المنان. You are Al-Hannan. In another narration, Al-Mannan, meaning originator of the heavens and the earth, one that is full of majesty and honor. بَدِيعُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومِ. O one that is full of majesty and honor, O living one, O one that sustains and protects all that exists, indeed I ask you of إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. I ask you paradise, admitting me to paradise, and seek refuge with you from the fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتدرون بما دعا؟ قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, do you know what he has supplicated? They said, Allah and his messenger know best. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, والذي نفسي بيده لقد دعا باسمه الأعظم الذي إذا دعي به أجاب وإذا سئل به أعطى. أحمد، أبو داود، النسائي والبخاري في الأدب المفرد وغيرهم بأسانيد صحيحة. ينظر صفة الصلاة للشيخ الألباني رحمه الله صفحة 187. He said, by him in whose hand is my soul, he has supplicated Allah with his mighty, in one narration, mightiest name, with which if he is supplicated, he answers, and which if he is asked, he gives. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, At-Tirmidhi, and Al-Bukhari in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and others with Sahih Isnad, as the Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, commented in his book, Sifatul Salah, page 187. Allah Al-Hannan, honors the good doers and forgives the wrongdoers when they repent to him, and even when they turn away from him, they continue to receive his favors. Al-Hannan, the one having mercy and compassion to his slaves, their evil ascend to him while his favors descend upon them. If this is how Allah the Most High is positioned towards his slaves, then the more so that the slaves be merciful and compassionate towards each other. The Prophet ﷺ stated that Muslims with affectionate hearts are from the people of paradise. وَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ ثَلَاثَةٌ ذُو سُلْطَانٍ مُقْصِطٌ مُتَصَدِّقٌ مُوَفَّقٌ وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ بِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى وَمُسْلِمٍ وَعَفِيفٌ مُتَعَفِّفٌ ذُو عِيَالٍ. In the hadith reported by Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, the people of paradise are three. One who effectively exercises authority and is just and fair. One who gives sadaqah, alms, and charity, and whom Allah has directed to that which was good. And the person who is merciful and kind-hearted towards relatives and to every pious Muslim. And one who does not stretch his hand in spite of having a large family to support. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Mannan, the one who is very bountiful. He most graciously bestows his favors, provisions, benefits, blessings, and all kinds of good things upon his creation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily Allah provides sustenance to whom He wills, without limit. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. And He, Allah, gave you all that you asked for, and if you would count the bounty of Allah, you cannot reckon it. Verily man is extremely wrongdoing. A disbeliever, an extreme ingrate, denies Allah's blessings by disbelief and by worshipping others besides Allah and by disobeying Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah the Most High reminded His slaves of some of His favors upon them, like guiding them to Islam after they were lost amidst darkness of disbelief. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They make it a favor unto you, O Muhammad, that they have embraced Islam. Say, deem not your Islam as a favor unto me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you that He has guided you to the faith, if you indeed are true. Secondly, sending Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of Allah's favors. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah verily has conferred a favor upon the believers when He sent among them a messenger from among themselves, reciting unto them His verses, purifying them, and teaching them the book, the Quran, and the hikmah, the sunnah, and wisdom, although before He came to them, they were in manifested error. Thirdly, the favors which Allah bestowed upon the children of Israel, Bani Israel. Allah gave them might and power on earth after they were humiliated by Fir'aun, by the Pharaoh, and his followers in Egypt. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ وَنُمَكِّنُ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And we wished to do a favor to those who were weak and oppressed in the land, and to make them rulers, and to make them the inheritors, and to establish them in the land. Fourthly, the people of paradise remember their state in this life and their fear of Allah. You know what they will say? قالوا إنا كنا قبل في أهلنا مشفقين فمن الله علينا ووقانا عذاب السموم إنا كنا من قبل ندعوه إنه هو البر الرحيم. Saying, aforetime we were afraid with our families from the punishment of Allah, but Allah has been gracious to us and has saved us from the torment of the fire. Verily, we used before to invoke Him alone and none else before. Verily, He is Al-Barr, the one who is most subtle, kind, courteous and generous, the most merciful. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, which means, and if you would count the bounty of Allah, you cannot reckon it. The 95th name, As-Subbuh, the one who is far removed or free from everything evil, from every imperfection, and from the imputation of there being any equal to him, or any companion and offspring, or anything like unto him, and from everything that should not be attributed to him. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبوح قدوس رب الملائكة والروح. In the hadith reported by Muslim and others, Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها said that Allah's messenger used to supplicate Allah in his ruku', in his bowing in the prayers, and the sujood, the prostration in the prayers, saying سبوح, all perfect, قدوس, the one who is far removed from everything evil and imperfection or impurity, or from everything derogatory from his glory, his majesty and greatness, who is very pure and blessed, alaykum salam, and who has no equal to him, the Lord of the angels and the spirit. The heavens, the earth and all that's therein extol Allah's perfection, purity and glory. He, the exalted, the most high, says تسبح له السماوات والسماوات السبع والأرض ومن فيهن وإن من شيء إلا يسبح بحمده ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم. The seven heavens and the earth and all that therein, تسبح, declare that Allah is far removed from every imperfection or impurity and from every derogatory form or from His glory. There is not a thing but extols His perfection and praises Him, but you understand not their tasbih, their declaration of Allah's perfection. The 96th name, Ash-Shafi, the healer. Ash-Shafi, the healer. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, may Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon him, كان إذا أتى مريضا أو أتي به قال أذهب البأس رب الناس اشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Aisha related that whenever Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid a visit to a patient or a patient was brought to him, he used to invoke Allah saying, take away the disease, O the Lord of the people, cure him as you are Ash-Shafi, Ash-Shafi, one who cures. There is no healing of any veil but yours, a healing that leaves no ailment. In addition to the healing from physical and psychological ailments, Allah cures the heart from the ailments of doubtful and dubious matters, envy, rancor, and malicious behavior. Those who put complete trust in the means, medicine and the like, those who put complete, underline, complete trust, believing that they are effective by themselves, are wrong. On the other hand, those who negate that the causative factors have any effect at all, are also wrong. The causative factors have effects, but one who renders the cause effective and nullifies their effects is Allah, Allah the Mighty and Majestic, is the one who has sent down disease and its treatment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما أنزل الله داء إلا أنزل له شفاء. In the hadith reported by Abu Hurairah in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no disease that Allah has sent down except that He also has sent down its treatment. He also said in the hadith reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَمْ يُنزِلْ دَاءً إِلَّا أَنزَلْ لَهُ شِفَاءً عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. Indeed, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has not sent a disease except that He has sent down a remedy for it. Some are cognizant of and some ignore. This is reported by Ahmad al-Humaydi, Ibn Majah and others. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar authenticated its isnad, and also Al-Hakim and Al-Zahabi agreed, and Al-Albani as well. Now, this hadith indicates that not all of the remedies are known by everyone. This indicates that not all the remedies are known by everyone. And this means that there is no disease for which there is no remedy, even if the doctors fail to treat some illnesses. It also encourages the research for cures and comforts the spirit of the patient. And the heat of despair will cool, and that will positively affect the patient's strength. It links the patient with his Creator such that he submits to his will, seek refuge in him, and accept his decrees. On the other hand, those who ignore the proper qualities of the remedy and its usage will forego its benefits. If Allah wills, the hadith, there is a remedy for every malady, and when the remedy is applied to the disease. In the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٍ فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The quote, the hadith, there is remedy, and this is reported by Muslim, there is a remedy for every malady, and when the remedy is applied to the disease, it is cured with the permission of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Which means that, quote, if Allah wills, He would make the availability of the medicine easy and would draw the attention of the user to it so that he would use it appropriately and in time, leading to the cure of the ailment. And if He wills to terminate the life of the carrier of the disease, He will make him fail to heed the proper cure, or He would preclude it by a hindrance that would block its effectiveness. All of this is under Allah's will, under Allah's Mashi'a, and according to His wisdom and foreknowledge. These mentioned narrations comprise the affirmation of the concept of cause and effect, and the invalidation of the opinions of those who deny it. The Prophet ﷺ saying, every illness has a cure, could be general, comprising the fatal diseases and those which a physician is unable to cure, incurable diseases. Allah has designated certain remedies for these diseases, but He concealed the knowledge concerning them from the humans, making it inaccessible to them. Human knowledge is limited to what Allah makes available for them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the healing contingent upon the concurrency between the illness and the cure. For everything Allah created, He also created its opposite, and for every disease there is an opposite, which is its cure. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam conditioned the healing upon the correspondence between the disease and its opposite remedy, and this is an additional condition to the mere existence of the medicament. For should the medicine exceed the required potency, or if it exceeds the required quantity, itself will transform to another disease. However, if it is deficient both in quality and quantity, it will not stand to combat the illness, and the treatment will fail. If the timing is not proper, because each drug is composed of one or more active components and characterized by a defined shelf life beyond which it becomes ineffective. So, if the timing is not proper for the use of the cure, it will not be beneficial. And whenever the body rejects the medicine, or it is unable to bear the cure, example, it doesn't properly absorb it or dispense it, or if there is something which impedes the effectiveness of the remedy, no healing could take place due to the incompatibility between the disease and the malady. Otherwise, under the proper conditions of compatibility, the healing will occur by Allah's leave. This is the best of the two intended meanings of this hadith: every illness has a cure. The second interpretation is that Allah did not create any curable illness except that He has created its remedy. Accordingly, the incurable diseases are excluded. And this is like the saying of Allah Most High regarding the wind, which He commanded to strike at the people of Ad: تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا, destroying everything by the command of its Lord. That is, to destroy what now? Anything subject to destruction. Anything subject to destruction. So, the one who contemplates the creation of opposites in this world, and their mutual resistance, repulsion, and mastery over each other, will recognize the perfect ability of Allah, the Exalted, His wisdom, His perfection of creation, and that the Lordship and oneness and subduing authority and sovereignty exclusively belongs to Him. Everything other than Allah has an opposite and a deterrent which may threaten its existence. This contemplation leads the person to perceive that Allah is the one who is ghani, rich in Himself, and that He is beyond any need. Everything other than Him is in need and depends upon Allah for its existence. And these hadiths urges the use of medicine, and that this does not contradict having trust and reliance upon Allah, tawakkul. Just as the treating of the illness of hunger, thirst, heat, cold by their counterparts does not negate dependence upon Allah. In fact, the reality of Tawheed, the reality of believing in Allah's oneness and uniqueness in His names, attributes and actions, is not complete unless one practically interacts with the causes which Allah has set as prerequisites for the manifestation of their respective effects according to His pre-decree and His commands. Hence, their neglection violates the trust in Allah as well as in His command and wisdom. It weakens the dependence of the one who relinquishes the causes, for he thinks that their abandonment strengthens his faith and trust in Allah. This is wrong. The fact, however, is that relinquishing the causes contradicts the true trust in Allah, which is in reality the reliance of the slave's heart upon Allah to accomplish what is beneficial in matters of religion and in matters of the life of this world, and warding off what is harmful to his religion and his life. In addition to this trust in Allah, it is imperative to utilize the means, otherwise one will be nullifying wisdom and the prescribed sharia, the prescribed laws. The slave of Allah should not make of his weakness a reliance upon Allah. The slave of Allah should not make of his weakness a reliance upon Allah, nor should he confuse his reliance with weakness. These narrations address those who deny treatment and confute their argument that, quote, if healing is a preordained matter, then to treat oneself is of no avail, is of no avail. And if it is not pre-decreed, recovery would be in vain. And since illness occurs by Allah's decree, then nothing can ward off or obstruct what is pre-decreed. This is their argument. In fact, this is the question that was brought before Allah's Messenger by a group of visiting Arabs. A group of desert Arabs came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, O Messenger of Allah, should we make use of medical treatment? He replied, yes, O slaves of Allah, use medicine to treat yourselves, for Allah the Mighty and Majestic has not created a disease except that He created a cure, with the exception of one disease. With the exception of one disease. They inquired, what is it? He said, namely old age. Namely old age. This is reported in Al-Bukhari by Ahmad and others. However, the virtuous companions are more knowledgeable of Allah, His wisdom and His attributes, to cite the divine pre-decree as a means of argument. The Prophet ﷺ responded by unequivocal and satisfactory answer. He said, such remedies, ruqa mean legally approved recitation of some verses as a treatment for disease, and tuqa, things used to guard oneself against an enemy, like defensive armors, shields, and other preventive measures. He said, such remedies are part of Allah's pre-decree. Nothing escapes the pre-decree of Allah. In fact, Allah's pre-decree is warded off by His pre-decree. The warding off of disease is part of Allah's preordained measures, and it is like repelling the pre-ordainment of hunger, thirst, heat and cold by their pre-ordained counterparts, unlike the repelling of the enemy by jihad. The propelling are all part of Allah's pre-decreed measures. Hence, we say to the questioner, your position necessitates that you should not undertake any of the means that will bring you benefit or ward off harm, since you believe that if benefit and harm were preordained, then they will inevitably occur, and if they were not preordained, then there is no way for them to happen. Such attitude will bring about disintegration of religion and corruption of this life. Only an arrogant and obstinate person will take the pre-decree as a pretext to rebuke the opponent's argument, as was evident in the argument of the polytheists when they said, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشَرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا. If Allah had willed, this is what the polytheists took as a pretext against Allah, if Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with Allah, nor would our forefathers. They said this in order to argue against Allah's proof, which He established by sending the messengers, inviting people with clear proofs and signs that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And this was their response. If Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners with Him, nor would our forefathers. And you know, this is a futile argument. Well, did they have any really foreknowledge about this? They had no foreknowledge about it, to take it as a pretext against Allah. Okay, now we gonna take the 97 and 98 names. Al-Hayy wa-Sittir. Al-Hayy means the one who is bashful. As-Sittir meaning the one who shields. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله عز وجل حيي ستير يحب الحياء والستر فإذا اغتسل أحدكم فليستتر. In the hadith reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, and Al-Bayhaqi, and Al-Sheikh Al-Albani رحمه الله said, it is its narration is hasan, is good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah the Mighty and Majestic is hayy, sitir, is bashful, and he shields, he loves haya, bashfulness, and loves sitr, shielding, covering, concealment. So when any of you makes ghusl, anyone of you takes full bath, he should conceal himself. And this hadith shows that a man, you know, and a woman also, must cover their private parts and shield themselves when they take a bath, you know, in the open. And you know before how things were. The closed bathroom now is a shield for the naked who makes this bath. And in the hadith of Salman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إذا رفع يديه إليه أن يردهما صفرا. In the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and authenticated by Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim and Al-Dhahabi, said it is a known hadith, and Al-Hafiz declared it as good, and Al-Albani rahimahullah said hadithun sahih, is an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah the Blessed and the Most High is Hayyun Kareem, most generous, is ashamed to turn away empty the hands of his slaves when he raises them to him while in a state of dua. His bashfulness is unlike that of his creatures, for there is nothing like unto Allah in his names, attributes and actions. His bashfulness is an attribute that suits his majesty, and it is his abandonment of everything that does not befit his boundless mercy, his perfected generosity, clemency and forgiveness. The slave openly disobeys Allah, yet he is the one who needs Allah. He takes from his bounties and abuses them in ways of misguidance and disobedience. Despite that, Allah Al-Hayy, the one who is bashful, who is perfectly free of all want and who has full mastery over him and over all things, forbears to expose his secrets and humiliate him. So Allah Azza wa Jal shields him by arranging for him the means of sitr, the means of shielding, covering and concealment, and then he forgives him and pardons him, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will bring a believer near him and shelter him with his kanaf, with his screen, and ask him, did you commit such and such sins? Meaning on the day of resurrection he will be asked. He will say, yes my lord. Allah will keep on asking him till he will confess all his sins, and he will say, I did screen your sins in the world and I forgive them for you today. And then he will be given the book record of his good deeds. Now regarding the disbelievers and the hypocrites, their evil acts will be exposed publicly, and the witnesses will say, هَٰؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ أَلَىٰ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ الظَّالِمِينَ. These are the ones who lied against their Lord. No doubt the curse of Allah is on the polytheists, oppressors and the wrongdoers. Allah's name Al-Hayy was mentioned in the Quran in a verbalized form. In a verbalized form. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. As in Surah Al-Baqarah 226. Verily Allah is not ashamed to set forth a parable even of a mosquito, or so much more when it is bigger, or less when it is similar than it. Being Hayy and Sittir, bashful, and the one who shields, Allah loves the people of bashfulness. It is known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered it a quality of the slaves of Allah when he said, "Al-Imanu bid'un wa sittuna shu'batan wal haya'u shu'batun min al-Iman." In the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, faith, Iman, consists of more than 60 branches, and praiseworthy haya, bashfulness, is part of faith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shyer than a virgin girl in her privacy. This hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He was shyer than a virgin girl in her privacy. One of the righteous predecessors said, I knew that Allah knows all about me, so I was ashamed he would see me committing sin. As if he is remembering the saying of Allah, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Knows he not that Allah does see what he does? The 99th name, الطيب. الطيب, the one who is far removed from every imperfection and deficiency. It is like his name Al-Quddus. A point of benefit about haya, about bashfulness, that it covers a wide aspect of a human behavior, including modesty, bashfulness, honor, self-respect, humility, kindness. It could be praiseworthy and blameworthy as well. The praiseworthy or good bashfulness or haya is to be ashamed to indulge in anything which Allah and His Messenger has forbidden. Bad or blameworthy bashfulness, quote unquote, is to be ashamed to do something which Allah and His Messenger has commanded. This is just a point of benefit. Now we refer to the At-Tayyib, the 99th name, the one who is far removed from every imperfection and deficiency. It is like the name Al-Quddus, which we explained earlier. Abi Huraira related that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's reported from the way of Abi Huraira that he said, Allah is طيب, good, far removed from every imperfection, deficiency and all kinds of evil, and he, Allah, accepts only that which is good. Allah, الطيب, accepts only the good from the sayings and deeds. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. To him ascend all the goodly words, and it is he who exalts each deed of righteousness. The goodly words include the remembrance of Allah, the exalted, all the words of advice and beneficial knowledge done sincerely for the sake of Allah. The good people who have belief in Allah Most High, love Him and follow His guidance, they love to say only that which is good. Allah described them in the Quran, الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. Bad statements are for bad people, or bad women for bad men, and bad people for bad statements, or bad men for bad women. Good statements are for good people, or good women for good men, and good people for good statements, or good men for good women. Such good people are innocent of each and every bad statement which they say. For them is forgiveness and generous provision, meaning paradise. Allah the Mighty, the Majestic, guides the people of paradise to the good statements and safeguards their tongues from each and every bad word. Allah says, وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَهُدُوا إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ. And they, the people of paradise, are guided in this world or in the hereafter to the purest of speeches. And the purest of speeches, as you know, comprises La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, and the remembrances, the Quran, etc. And they are guided to the path of Him, meaning Islam, who is worthy of all praises. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asserted that Inna ahla al-jannati يُلْهَمُونَ التَّسْبِيحَ وَالتَّحْمِيدَ كَمَا تُلْهَمُونَ النَّفَسِ. In the hadith reported by Muslim, the tasbih, declaring that Allah is far removed from every imperfection, this is the meaning of tasbih. The Prophet ﷺ said, the tasbih and tahmid means declaring that Allah is worth of all praise, would be made easy for the people of paradise as their breath was made easy for them. Paradise is the abode for الطيبين, those who are pure from all evil and worship none but Allah Azza wa Jalla. The key to it is La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said the following, quote, since shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, is the gravest record amongst the other records with Allah, which will be presented on the day of resurrection, He, the most mighty and majestic, forbade paradise for those committing shirk. No mushrik soul will ever enter paradise. Only those who ascribe to the belief in the Tawheed will enter paradise. For the Tawheed is the key to its door. Anyone in this life who keeps the right key of Tawheed with its, quote, teeth, being properly installed and maintained, will come on the day of resurrection to the door of paradise, holding the only key which will render it open. No obstacle will hamper its opening, unless the person has acquired sinful deeds, wrongdoings and other burdens, whose effects were not completely effaced by repentance, whereby he will be held off from entering paradise until he is completely purified. If he is not purified by the horrors and hardships of the mawqif, when people will be held to stand before Allah on the day of resurrection awaiting judgment, then it is inevitable that he will enter the fire of hell, so as to get rid of his khabath, his wickedness and evil, and be purified from his shameful, disgraceful and filthy actions. Then he will get out of hell and enter paradise, for it is the abode of the tayyibin, the good. None other than the good Muslims shall be admitted therein. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whose lives the angels take while they are طيبين, meaning in a pious state, free from all evil and worshipping not but Allah, saying to them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace upon you, enter you paradise because of the good which he used to do in this world. As regard to the fire, it is the home of evil from the sayings and deeds, food and drinks, and it is the abode of the evil ones. Allah, the Most High, gathers the evil one with the other, heap them together one on another, and cast the evil into hell together with its doers. Nothing else but evil is to be therein. Since people fall into three classes, those free from evil, which is the tayyib class, the good ones, the wicked having no piety at all, and those in a state of piety and wickedness, then accordingly they will be in three corresponding different abodes in the hereafter. An absolutely pure abode, this is Jannah, paradise. The purely wicked abode, and this is hell. And an abode for those who come with good and bad deeds. The latter abode is the abode for the disobedient Muslims, meaning who are not completely purified from their sins, and whose punishment is in accordance with the just decree and will of Allah. And it will become extinct because none of the disobedient Muslims who believe in the Tawheed of Allah will remain in hell. Once they are punished to the degree they deserve, they will be removed from hell and will enter paradise. There shall remain only the abode of absolute piety and that of absolute wickedness. The 100th name is Al-Jawad. Al-Jawad, the one who grants generosity. The one who grants generosity. This is the 100th name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jawad, the one who grants generosity. Then inshallah ta'ala we'll stop here and we'll continue inshallah the discussion of the other names inshallah tomorrow. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.